Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, welcome to BNC. I'm Carl. I'm joined by Gilly. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Ought to Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
Hi Gilly, how's it going?
You sounded in that intro about as happy as I feel.
Oh, that's okay.
I didn't think that possible.
Well. No. It came across well.
No, it really didn't.
Wow. Like, where do you start with that? Like,
I'll tell you where I'm going to start. What I'm going to do is put into context everything that we're about to say is that we were shit today. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of stuff that we can go on to talk about. You know, I'm certain that we'll talk about ref. I'm certain that we'll talk about VAR. I'm certain that we'll talk about our centre-back partnership. I'm certain that we'll talk about Brentford potentially, whatever else. We were not good enough today by a long shot. Mm-hmm. That's where we need to start, is that we have to accept that point. We just weren't good enough today. We weren't at the races.
No. It brings into question what the hell the difference is between the same team that beat Chelsea comfortably and what we're seeing over the last two games, you know. And it's hard, like we're still getting caught with that ball in behind, in around the back of the fullbacks. Now, I don't know how many times that has to happen or how many times it has to expose you before you look at it and go, right, we need to fucking fix that, and we need to do it soon.
But I've got sympathy for Jesse on that. I've got, you know, it doesn't matter how much coaching you do. Mm-hmm. You cannot coach an experienced international centre back to not nod the ball onto their attacker for him to just run through on goal, or to not do a Cruyff turn when you're two goals down and you're pushing to try and make something of the game. Mm. And that's the pair of them. That's two of them. It doesn't matter what a coach does when that coach has got genuine international players on the pitch doing that shit. I mean, how frustrating. I know he got sent off. To be fair, I don't think that was right that he got sent off. I think he was absolutely right to be creating about what was going on. He should have been livid. But yeah, you know, that side, it's... There is no amount of coaching, or there's no mitigations that a manager can put in place to stop that sort of shit happening. There just isn't.
But like, would you not say that you could change the formation and that would be a way of mitigating what's going on there?
So we're two flush up front, and what we're going to do is put more defenders on the pitch because he's got no trust in the defenders he's got.
No, no, I'm not saying that at all.
What I mean is, in order to change your formation to do anything about your defence, you have to put more emphasis on the defence. And as we know, we don't have enough up front. So what we end up doing is just Sam Allardyce in it.
What would be wrong with changing formation? Like, we looked like seriously narrow again today. Like, I know we keep banging on about it. Like, but you've got Adams, and I'll get on to him in a second, and Rocca. Like, just play a 4-4-2 if it needs be. If that shores up any kind of fucking around, then just do it just for the time being. Like, honestly, like, it's getting to the point where it's starting to look like it did last year when we needed to just play play the way it was, and you know, da da da. But now it just seems like that's coming upon us again, and it's very, very frustrating because he seems like a good guy and a good coach and all that, but there's only so many times you can get walloped before you kind of look at it and go, right, I need to do something. Like,
yeah, just on that, I think potentially some of the criticism we got earlier in the season about not making changes early enough potentially led to today. There's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of, we had the 4-2-3-1, we had the penis formation, we had two up top, we then took Joffy off and we brought Click on and he was playing in behind. We were in that position where Ailing differently because right back, but Bamford comes into that with a 4-2-3-1 changing to a 4-2-2-2 and goes two up top with Joffy. And then all of a sudden Joffy's gone and Click's playing behind him and he's got Ailing on right and he's got Aronson playing through the centre as well. And it's all congested in the middle and he's trying... That to me, it just stank of desperation. The issues that we had were in our defence.
Mm-hmm.
Cock has been at fault for 3 goals today, and Llorente then did that at the end. I think you're in a position where you take Rocca off. I mean, I'm going to let you talk about Adams, and then I'll share my opinion on him. But we had two anchors there today, and you take one of them off while you're chasing the game. I get that the point is that you need to put more emphasis on attack, but they were already tearing us apart. Yeah. You have to find another way to do it. And, you know, one of the ways that he were in a maybe a no-win thing there because, he needed to bring Click into the game and he needed the experience and the older head there. He sacrificed Joffy for that, but we needed emphasis on attack. So there's only so much you can do.
Do you think Click is pushing for a start? I think with the way he's played when he's come on, he's looked very good, like. Him and Ailing today, they were kind of, you know, I've been caught on camera saying that they're, you know, old and not that, like, but you said it just
to be fair, you never said that about Click. You said that about Ailing in Dallas.
I did, yeah, to be fair. That they bring a certain calm to the game.
Ailing, yes, absolutely. I said in the first half, I think we just pulled it back. There was just one goal in it, and I said, "Ailing makes such a massive difference to this game today." And I think that was borne out. When it comes to Click, I think for me, Aronson starts every game.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really rate him. I think he's really, really good. Sinisterra scored again.
Yep.
And Harrison and Aronson have built in a really short space of time, have really built an understanding with each other. And I don't think you can drop either Rocca or Adams. So yeah. I get what you're saying with Clicks being influential in games when he comes on, although I didn't think he did much today, but you know, he were all right. But in previous games, he has played quite well, but who did he drop?
Yeah, that's the thing as well. Like, but you have to try and find space to fit an experienced head in there. Like I said there the last day as well, like the spine of our team is brand new to the Premier League. Every one of them, like from Rocca, Adams, Aronson, even Joffy kind of playing there now at the moment. Yeah. It's still new to him, like, you know. And it's kind of hard to look at it and not understand why he's not bringing a more senior head into that team to settle things down early doors, like, or even from the start.
Yeah. So yes, I get your point, and maybe bringing him on a bit earlier would have been, I mean, trying to bring Click on to settle something down. That's like pouring oil on a fire and expecting it to go out. But no, I do kind of I get your point in as much as control of the game rather than, because you don't want it to play out as a dull drab game. You don't want to bring him on and kill the game because we were behind in the game. We needed a foothold. So I get where you're coming from. In terms of starting, I personally maybe slightly harsh. I don't think Jimmy's up to it yet. I really don't, and I really don't think giving him the number they have this season has done him any favors, because the weight of expectation going into that first 11 at his age and influence level that he's got, I'm not convinced that was right. Maybe it would have worked out, and you know he just immediately kicks on, but I'm not certain there. I think Bamford hopefully will now be in a position to start. He's got a few more minutes in his legs. Will hopefully be in a position to start. That's a massive platform for us. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, he did make a difference. Like, he was holding the ball up very well when he came on, and you could see he was trying to bring players into the game a lot more than just kind of getting it up and trying to get it in the box as quick as possible, turn and shoot. You know, it seemed very, like, as good as I thought we were in the first half, everything seemed very rushing and hectic. Where, you know, you had Joffy, fair play to him, he was probably told take more shots, which, you know, as a striker, you'd love to be able to be told take more shots the whole time, you know. But, you know, if Bamford's in that kind of position, him taking more shots are a little bit more clinical, I think. Like, he tried to...
you can
give him that one, to be fair, because he's been out for a while and he'll be rusty, you know.
And it was a tight angle.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I just think we just need to be a lot more shored up at the back. I think what you said about Somerville is right. It's a lot of pressure with the number 10. But I thought he played quite well when he came on. I thought he was dangerous when he started running at them. Stonewall penalty, in my opinion. The ref gives a free kick for the same foul 5 minutes later outside the box. And it's like, come on, look, they did everything to... Here, we'll get into that in a minute anyway. Anyway, Adams, I just want to say a quick word, needs to work on his passing. It's absolutely shocking. Now, he puts in a serious amount of running, which I've mad respect for, and he does a good job at what he does. But half of the time, he's putting in all that effort to recover a ball that he's misplaced a pass of. And imagine the engine he'd have on him if he wasn't recovering misplaced passes that he was giving away. Like, I counted maybe 6-7 in the first 20 minutes where it was just it passed to no one. You know, like, there's no one there, dude. Like, there's no one there.
And I think that there's an expectation there that, you know, we've replaced Calvin with two players.
Mm-hmm.
Rocker's, I mean, even Rocker had a couple that just sailed straight out of play and what have you. But we've seen he's got the range. He's got the passing range. Mm. I think, to be fair to him, again, going back to what you said about, I mean, it's not really the spine of the team. I think to say the spine of the team is new to the Premier League is probably letting Cock and Lamento off the hook a bit too much. But in that middle of the park, we've got three midfielders that were playing in there, all of which are new to the Premier League, playing behind what was a youth player that's now somebody that we need to rely on almost week in, week out. So I do get that point. You've got Adams, you've got Rocker, and you've got Aronson in front of them that are all new to the league. And I think they've got to build that level of understanding. That understanding doesn't come overnight.
Of course.
So, I kind of am with you. We've also got, you know, Sinisterra has now come in. He started the season injured, so he didn't start the season. Aronson was out on the right. So Aronson, when he was playing on the right, was really direct, but he was hanging out on the right until he got the ball and then coming in, whereas Sinisterra drifts a lot. Yeah. Now, he drifts a lot to good effect because he scored a couple of goals and he's taken them really well. Mm-hmm. But if you're Adams and you're in the middle and you don't have time when you're in there, especially in the Premier League now, and he's going to feel a bit rushed because it's such a fast-paced league, You don't have time to get the ball at your feet in central midfield and then look up and then pick your pass. You just don't have it. Mm-hmm. I think his positional sense and his tracking and his capabilities are slightly ahead of Rocker's, but Rocker's got that view already before he does something as to what he's going to do. He's got that in him. So they need to grow that and that level of understanding. I think equally, to just expand on the point around Adams a little more, you're also looking for your attackers. Now, late in this game, he had Bamford up front. Before that, he had Bamford and Joffe up front. Before that, he had Joffe up front. But when he was first playing in the season, he had Rodrigo up front. Mm-hmm. All of which operate in completely different ways. And then you've got Sinisterra has come in. Aronson's moved inside. Harrison, fairly standard. But then you've also had Dan James that plays in a completely different way as well. So that midfield has to have time. He also had Drame at right back, who plays in a different way to the way that Christensen plays, and then Ellen as well. So I think that central midfield area, you have to know what your players around you are doing without checking.
Yeah,
you have, and the only way you can build that is playing time together. You just can't, you can't give somebody that. So I don't disagree, but at the same time, they've got to be given time to settle.
I agree with you. Like, they do have to be given time, but like, let's be honest, like, it's passing the ball, like, part of his job. And I think he just needs to be
absolutely
a bit,
and I'm not excusing
it,
that.
But look, so we'll move on a little bit anyway. Just one point. Cody Drama put in a great ball today. I just want to acknowledge that little fizzer that he put in the half volley from out wide on the right. If he could do more of that, please, that'd be much appreciated if he's getting his chance.
I don't think he's going to get much of a chance.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think Ailing had such a big impact on the game coming on. I think if he doesn't have a reaction to the minutes he's spent and he trains quite well, I think he starts the next game, even if Christensen's back.
Yeah, I think so as well. But I think Ailing is always going to be the number one right back until such a time that he's not up to the job, and that doesn't look like happening, really, does it?
The weight of opinion was that Christensen had come into house Ailing and that Drama was going to be the future. For me, I don't see that. And that's not me writing players off before anybody jumps all over me on Twitter like I've had recently. I am absolutely not writing people off. And while ever they're playing for Leeds, I really want them to do well, regardless of what my opinions on their performances has been. But Christensen coming into that position hasn't had the impact that we were looking for. But you can't write off a player. You know, what are we, 5 games in?
Oh, no, I'm not writing the lad off at all.
No. I'm not saying you are. Oh. But my point is, I'm also not. I'm just saying there are periods that players take to get to grips with a new environment and a new club and a new country and a new league and everything else that's going on, and potentially even a different playing style. So, I think for me, a fit Ailing starts every game that he's available for. I mean, to be fair, having looked at the centre-backs today, I'd probably start Ailing alongside Cooper if I could in middle.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right, that's another conversation altogether, I think. I do like Aronson as well, like, just going back to that as well. I don't think he can be dropped at all, like, and, you know, to try and fit players in to suit something else would be silly. Just leave him be, but just there was one or two episodes today where he just needs to release the ball a little bit quicker. There was one or two touches out in the wing where he could have played in, I think it was Sinisterra at one point for, you know, a couple of balls. Just that side of his game again, like I said, he's getting used to the league, he's getting used to the pace. He seems quite strong on the ball. Like,
yeah, he does. But I mean, there's been... It might be putting a lot of pressure on him, bearing in mind that in the season that we had in the Champions League, he finished joint top scorer in it, as I recall. He seems to run and be built like Boyer. And Boyer was strong and short. You know, he was slight of stature. But for his size, you know, he was very difficult to manage. He was difficult to knock off the ball. Aronson appears to be sort of in the same ilk. Not the same player. But... I think, you know, when you're saying he needs to release it a bit quicker, I think for me, the issues that he causes by running with the ball, more often than not, will bear fruit. So yes, there are some times when you could look back and go, actually, you could have passed that a bit sooner. But there are other times that him holding onto the ball and forcing a defender into backwards motion, going back towards the goal where no defender wants to be, will also get us into a better position. And then actually, if he's putting in a cross or if he's driven somebody back and he's able to get a shot off or play somebody in, you know, he's one of those front foot players always looking to drive forward. And if that's with the ball at his feet, he's always making people think. And I like that about a player.
Yeah, I like it as well. Like, don't get me wrong, but I've also noticed that a little bit over the last couple of games. He seems to be getting doubled and tripled up on any time he gets on the ball as well. So that would be kind of my thinking behind maybe releasing the ball a little bit sooner, because he's picking it up and then he's automatically got one person on him, and then there's always two players going to him on top of the player that's on him already. And I think maybe he just needs to learn to read the game a little bit better and release the ball before he gets ganged up on, because if it's all good and well him attracting three players, but if we lose the ball, they've got three players to then spring a counter-attack or whatever the absolutely. Case may be.
And I think the other side to it is Harrison also had two players on him throughout the entire of the first half. Now, if Harrison and Aronson are being marked out of the game, somebody's cheating.
This is the other thing, isn't it? Like, but you know, it's just something you see these things. You know, you played football as well, like, but you see these kind of scenarios on the pitch, and you're kind of like, yeah, just let it go. If you see two players coming, that means they're out of position. Learn to play the ball just before they get there. You know, if another team is willing to double or triple up on a player when he gets the ball, as soon as you get it, release the ball, because he had Sinisterra there out wide today twice at least, I recall, where he could have played it down the line and he just waited, and then there was two, three players on him straight away and they turned the ball over. Like, so, you know, again, it's just a case of him learning and just reading the game a little better, I think. But, you know, what did you think of the second half?
It was a shit show. Fucking awful. I did think we were the better side in the first half. I thought that we made too many changes. We were too inconsistent and we never had a grip. And to be fair to them, every single attack they had, you know, they sat in that low block. It felt very much like Pulis ball. But it's effective. They've got pace up front, and therefore a long ball is a position. Sorry, I'm just distracted by one of the comments. That long ball position there, we're just in that. We could not cope with it. Now, Mbeumo's quick. Tony's quick and strong. And we just could not cope with them from start to finish. I didn't think we'd mentioned the refs for a while, so I don't really get that comment.
Yeah, I don't think we've actually mentioned the ref yet. Like, he's
yet to come.
yeah. That and other bits. Do you maybe want to run through a few comments there, Gilly, and just see what the folks are saying?
Yeah, no problem.
Go from there.
Don't worry, guys. Didn't need a left back. Sending out a centre back on loan was a great idea. Now, I mean, the left back thing is a problem. The centre back on loan, if you look at the start of the season rather than what's transpired in the meantime, we had Cooper and Struijk and Koch and Llorente and Hjelder that can also play at left back. You know, we were in this, and Ayling can do it. I don't like to see him there because it impacts us at right back so much, but. You know, we had players that could do it that you would argue would be in front of Cresswell. So that one in particular, not for me, is not too bad. The left back,
criminal,
it's criminal, absolutely it's criminal.
So bad, like, yeah, it's a good point, man.
Absolute shit show, Derek.
I can't disagree.
We've just this, conceded five. It's tough to say different.
Yeah.
Ivan Toney just scored four and got an assist.
I would go along with that comment, I'm not going to lie.
Llorente wasn't our worst centre-back.
Llorente was shit today.
Yes, he was. 2 out of 10 for me. 1 out of 10 for Koch.
So
well played, yeah. Brentford, best team won. They are enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah. Tough to argue. Yeah. I think it's one of those where, you know, I think Jensen went off injured, didn't he? I think they have capable players that aren't their forwards. Mm-hmm. We didn't see much of that today. What we saw was their forwards taking the piss out of our defence. We didn't see them we didn't see Brentford in the game much other than that. We just saw our defence capitulating time and time and time again. And their forwards taking the piss. That might be the wrong view. For me, looking back on the game, it felt very much like, when I was reflecting on it, like Brentford's midfield will have got a crick in the neck because they were just, it's going over my head again. It's going over my head again. And that was pretty much the entire game. They weren't in the game, their midfield.
I don't think that's going to wash if it comes to that at Elland Road, that long ball crack. It'll get very toxic.
Well, it depends what defence we've got out. If we've got Coca Llorente in centre-backs, then it'll probably work just as well.
All right.
Nice to see the Ealing flop back.
Yep. Didn't notice that.
Pure man management today. Not sure what that is. I don't know if that was Thomas Frank, because I didn't see any of that going on for us. Yeah. The ref in the last three matches have been totally crap. Yep. I mean, maybe that's what Stefan was responding to.
Oh, okay.
But it's tough to argue. Man management was terrible is what Liam meant. No, that's fair. Alisson, welcome along. Awful result. Pascal should be centre back. That's why we needed a left back.
Yep. 100%. 100%.
Stefan's in with a couple of comments. A team needs a number 9 that knows how to open channels with correct movement. You do have that player. He's only 18. I don't see him being played, Matteo Joseph. You know, he's now got two players that he's vying with in the under-21s. Mm-hmm. I think in three games, Joseph scored 5 goals. And in 4 games, Perkins has scored 5 goals, so in more games. But a lot more people are talking about Perkins now. Talking about Perkins and just getting a bit of attention is irrelevant, really. It's the coaches and the management team that will be looking at that. But you've also now got an additional player coming in. You know, our star striker, those 9 in 63 games in a chocolatier and clockmakers league. I think we've got to be really careful in Onto. I really do, in as much as just because he was bought at the point at which we really, really need a striker doesn't mean that he's a striker that we really, really needed. And we can't afford to put that amount of pressure on a young man coming into the club. He comes in highly rated. Great. Let's give him an opportunity to bed in, to settle, and to kind of start to grow in a completely new country, new club, and go from there. Clearly, he's got bags of potential. You know, Italy did play him in 4 games and friendlies. Nations League or whatever it is, but it's still friendlies, isn't it? They just called it something else to try and get people a bit more interested in friendlies. Be that as it may, he wouldn't have been there if the potential wasn't there. Yeah. He's not there just as an also ran. He was in the side and he was playing, and that's because of the potential. So hopefully that'll turn out to be a good signing, but we've got to be really careful not to just load that pressure on him just because of the point and the context and the drama around the situation of him joining the club.
Yeah.
We had the ref's comment. Croker has to spend half of his time worrying what Llorente is going to do next. It must be exhausting. I think that's an either or. I think both centre backs are so out of form I know that Marsh spoke about Cock and said he's been one of our best players. I mean, for me, that's just an outright lie to try and build somebody up because he'd been woeful. He'd been awful. He'd been really, really bad.
I don't think he's been as bad as Llorente. Oh,
terrible. Jeez. Fucking... No, Llorente, no. In the last two games, Llorente... I mean, sorry, not the last two games, including today. Previous to today, I think Llorente had been our worst defender in those two games. Before that, it had been Cock. Today, they were both absolutely appalling. And all you can think of is that that's a confidence thing. And I know that saying Cox being a good player, one of the better players or whatever, he's trying to build confidence or whatever else is going on there. Cooper walks back into that side. Erling walks back into that side because the players that are there now just haven't been playing that well.
So who do you? I think you put Cock or Stewart in beside Cooper.
I said that on Twitter. You know, Gelder played against Barnsley. He didn't have a great night of it, but a lot of what he was trying to do wasn't seen by his teammates. He was trying to get forward. The ball was played behind him. He'd hang back because the ball had just been played behind him and the ball was where he was wanting to be the previous time. I think he were really unlucky with some things, but you don't get away with that sort of thing in the Premier League.
So
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. It depends on fitness levels and where people are. For me, I think, you know, Erling played today. Cooper played in the Barnsley game. So it was a surprise to me that he wasn't on the bench in the last game. And then I'm not sure. For me, Cooper's in that side if he's fit enough.
I think he has to come back in. Like the balance in the back four just seems to be all over the place at the moment. I think if you get Cooper back in, put Struick in beside Cooper, ailing at right back, then all we have to do is just worry about left back. We didn't get one in the transfer window. That's right, yeah, sorry. Right.
I don't know when Firpo's back. I've made the point before, actually. I would be quite excited if we had Cooper, and I would still choose Llorente, even though what happened today when we were already 4-2 down. I think that alongside Cooper, Llorente is a much better player. Now, is he good enough? Is Cock good enough longer term? I'm not confident on either. Actually, I think that long term, Struyck and Cresswell are going to be our centre-back partnership.
However,
at this point in time, I think Cooper's our best centre-back, and I think alongside him, Llorente plays better than Cock does. Although I will accept Cock hasn't had much time playing alongside Cooper. But I want to see what Firpo and Erling play like when there's not much emphasis on defence from them because of the two sitting midfielders. Yeah. Because there isn't. There genuinely isn't. They will be asked to get forward as much as possible. And that's Firpo's game. And we've already seen what Erling can do. I think he had more ball-carrying minutes than anybody, including Messi, or maybe it was just behind Messi in the end or whatever it was in our first season back. He was dynamite going forward. So being able to see two genuinely attacking players, you look at Struyck, an absolutely manful job he's doing at left back. It really is. Yeah. But you look at the positions he were in today, and I think you mentioned it at the start of the podcast, or it might have been somebody said in the group chat, he were in so many positive positions, but then just didn't cross the ball.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was sitting there, it's like there was a couple where Jack literally rolled it back to him, and all you had to do was just ping it in and nothing. And you're like, what are you doing? Just put it in, man. You've got a left foot that you can use. Put it in.
Yeah, you know? Here's one. Do we really have to put up with the nonsense of March with his touchline antics? I love them. That might be an unpopular opinion, but I love them. But the one thing I would say, and I think we both said it before, is he was absolutely right to be fuming at that decision today. The one he got red carded for, if a manager just goes, "Oh, it's okay," I'm going to be fuming at the manager.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we were saying earlier, if you give a free kick for the one outside the box, you have to give the penalty.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Like, there was a foul for the penalty shout. There was a foul where he pulled on his jersey outside the box. And then the second foul came inside the box. He didn't give a foul for either. So you're kind of looking at it going, when VAR came into it then, like, it was like, you just knew that they looked at every way to give the Brentford penalty. And they looked at every way to not give our penalty.
Was there a VAR check for ours?
There was, yeah. It lasted about 30 seconds.
I thought it played on. I didn't think they'd even done a VAR check.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it broke down to a free kick out in central midfield somewhere, didn't it? And then,
it was out wide somewhere, I think. And they did the check then. But like, it literally took them about 30 seconds, but they scrutinised the one against us. And you're like...
Now, this is really picky. So they try giving the handball. They're like, yeah, we can't give that.
Yeah.
So let's have a look. Let's have a look at the tackle. Oh, yeah, it's a fair tackle. Oh, no, actually, let's see if we can see any contact on the player first. What really annoyed me, and this is what rugby league do well when it comes down to the match officials. Mm-hmm. Oh, well done to the Rhinos, by the way. Foot Cass. Oh. Foot Cass in the ass. Leeds Rhinos got into playoffs today. But that aside, I think when rugby league look at it, that they'll go right back to the start of the most recent move, mm-hmm. and they'll look for offsides throughout. They'll look for forward passes, whatever else, and then they'll check grounding and all of that stuff. The throw-in was a foul throw. Before that penalty VAR check, the throw-in was a foul throw. It was stood on pitch.
Oh, he stood on the pitch, because I was going to say, Christensen has been looking like he foul throws every since he came in.
There's quite a few where he holds onto the ball for too long. Yeah. And down in there. But no, man was stood on pitch, and that's cut and dried. That's not an opinion on when you should let it go and all of that sort of stuff. He was stood on pitch. It's a foul throw.
Fucking hell. I didn't even notice that now, to be honest, which I was just fuming from a load of shit. Like, so it's just like...
But I will say again, I do like the Marsh stuff.
I like that he shows passion.
Maybe because I'd be exactly the same.
Yeah,
I'd be kicking off. I'd be screwing it
all the time. Like, and you can understand his frustration as well. So I think it was a bit extreme. Like, I guarantee you though, he'll be gone for the next game, and it'll be straight away. It'll be done Monday, and everything will be done. Paperwork in, nothing else.
Not like Tuchel.
Not like Tuchel, yeah. Fucking pricks. Anyway, that's wound me up a little bit there. Firepower looked good in preseason. Yeah, it looked all right, I guess. It looked really good at the start.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, what's this?
I think Firepower might have been a typo, a spell checker. Firepower looked good in preseason, what he was saying.
Yeah, he did look all right, and he came out after that Real Betis game fairly confident and happy with his performance, and then we're told he's injured. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and the only one that our backup is Dallas.
And he's injured.
Who's a perfectly capable left back.
Yeah.
Just out for the majority of the season.
He's the modern day Rolls Royce, isn't he? So... we need Stuart in centre as soon as possible. Yes, Stephen, that is looking like some serious facts you're spitting there. I'm not going to lie. As soon as Cooper comes back in, it'll be interesting to see who Marsh puts in beside him. I think
it will.
I don't know. I think
the good thing about it is it doesn't matter who it is. I'm confident that they will play better just because Cooper's there.
Yeah, like he has gone on a mad trajectory of League One Liam to fucking hell. We're literally lost without
him. Survive without him.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's gone from one extreme to the other, and it is mad that we're sitting here and we're like, yeah, we need Cooper back in. We need him back in straight away. That's the last person we ever thought we'd be kind of sitting there going, shit, we need him back in now.
Naughty. Not me.
Not me.
Rated it from the start.
All right, okay.
Well, you lot, especially Smarty and Jay that piled on Cooper, League One Liam and all of that shit. I was never having any of that.
Cooper hating bastards at the start.
Yes.
Ben, it was a definite penalty, I thought. Maybe the fuss with Marsh messed our appeal up. I don't think the fuss with Marsh messed our appeal up, if I'm honest. But I mean, if I was looking at it, for me.
Yeah. If I was looking at it, they've got to give it or not. Or tell him to review or not. Mm-hmm. They still deal with Marsh as well as that, but equally.
Like I said, they looked at every way not to give it to us, you know?
Yeah.
So, VAR can go and suck a fat one now, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
There's one for you. Llorente and Strike out of position. Llorente is a right hand centre back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. Cooper comes back in. Llorente goes to right, or Cox stays at right, and Llorente gets dropped. There's all sorts of different connotations. I think the positive we can take from it is the fact that Cooper and Aylin are coming back.
Yeah.
And I think there'll be a better team with them there.
Yeah. I think, like we were saying, it just that experience coming in, just it'll settle us down, hopefully, and just we might actually start playing ball. I like, the one thing that frustrates me about Llorente is he thinks he's a ball playing centre back.
So not. Here's a question for you. Well, I don't know. I think he is, but he takes too many chances. But here's a question for you. You're 4-2 down.
Yeah.
You're in a position where you have to not make any mistakes at all, and you're also in a position where
we're in London. That's the fucking difference.
So we're in London, where we very rarely get anything, yeah. And we're 4-2 down, and your defensive centre back partner has had an absolute fucking horror show. And has set 3 goals up, and you're in a position where you've got the ball in the centre of the park with nobody within 15 yards of you.
Yeah.
In what world is the right thing to do is to stop, let pressure come onto you, and then Cruyff turn?
I recently watched the new Doctor Strange. So apparently there's all these different fucking alternate universes. So it's got to be in one of them, because it's certainly not in this fucking one.
In one of those universes, a move like that comes off and he sets up a goal.
Oh, he's looking champion, man. He's top of the world in a different universe. In this universe, just fucking get it out or pass it. Because, you don't do that shit.
He had to launch it. Yeah, not only did we need it up front anyway... And we have a striker on the pitch that can actually do something with a ball into him now, rather than it having to be down the channels or whatever else. We had to get it up front. And instead, he's caught pissing about with it at the back and does a fucking Cruyff turn in the middle of the pitch. What?
And
what?
Then, didn't they score from said fuck up? Didn't they?
They did. They did. Yeah. That was their fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get it out. Get it out. Just fucking get it out.
Not seen anything at this time to say he'll be a quality centre back. He's
in his defense,
for me, he's been awful this season. But have we seen enough of him prior to this season to think that he's got what it takes?
Well, I was just going to make that point, Gilly. It's like last season he was covering in Phillips' position more often than he was playing centre back.
And he did a bit of right back as well. He did a spell when Ailey were first out, didn't he?
Yeah, and then the season before, it was essentially the same scenario as well, covering for Calvin.
I think the season before,
you know,
the one thing that I would say is the season before, him and Strike against Liverpool, first time they'd ever played together, and yes, we lost the game, and it was a cock and ball, but that was a situation that later in the season would have not been a handball, so it was purely just put in to benefit Liverpool and then taken away. Which obviously, you know, that's what the Premier League do. But no, I think we've seen enough of him to think he's adequate cover. I don't think he's a player that if we want to be mid-table or better each season, I don't think he's good enough for that, personally.
That's fair enough.
Not to be starting every week, but he's adequate for cover. And that's really what we need. we need the depth in the squad. So I'm absolutely not wanting to just get shut, because we need players in the squad, especially experienced ones. That's what we're missing. We don't have. And, you know, there's a few people, I'm not going to name any of them, but there's a few people that keep tagging me in going, look how well we're doing. And for me, it's not. And insisting that we've expanded on the squad. we just haven't. It's a lie. We have not expanded the squad. We don't have any more numbers in. We didn't have more numbers in before Dan James went. So in one window, we've sold our two best players and then loaned Motherwell Gaz. In one window, he tweeted it out earlier. We've sold our two best players and then loaned I think he said our second most expensive player ever, but who was more expensive than Dan James? Wasn't he 28 million? And he's still the most expensive.
Yeah, Rodrigo was more expensive than that. Rodrigo was 30 million, wasn't he? 29, 30 million.
I thought Rodrigo were 27 and Dan James were 28, 29. Oh. Anyway, I mean, a very, very, very expensive player that we signed last summer that we've just given to a newly promoted team when we finished one side above the relegation zone last season.
I saw a lot of people saying that the reason we bought Dan James was because he was a Bielsa player that Bielsa wanted, and apparently they reckon he doesn't fit the Marsh system. I was
absolutely desperate for Dan James when we were in the Championship. If we'd have signed him that season that he was at Elland Road holding up the shirt, wearing the shirt, the pictures being... If we'd signed him then, I am confident we'd have got promoted that season.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out we didn't. At the end, he signed for the scum and all of that sort of stuff. We signed him for 3-4 times what we'd agreed for him initially and all of that sort of stuff. None of that is the player's fault. You know, I'm not castigating him in any way for any of that. But we shouldn't have gone back in for it.
I don't think so, no.
What does he do in the Premier League?
Well, he runs fast.
So does Adama, and we know what I think about that.
Yeah, but like, to be fair, he was obviously wasn't he our top assister last season, even though he was kind of in and out of the team.
No, 4 goals, 4 assists. Harrison and Rafinha both got more than that.
I thought Dan James got more assists than that, no.
I thought it were 4 and 4. I'm happy to be corrected.
Oh, no, no, no. I just thought I saw a tweet saying that he was our most successful assister, even though he was out of, or maybe it was down to the amount of games that he'd played.
Maybe. With Harrison and Rafinha. I mean, Harrison and Rafinha were first-choice wingers. But to be fair, I mean, he played quite a bit, but he was playing up front.
Yeah, out of position. Like there against Chelsea, he actually played in his position, and he looked quite good when he was playing in his actual position, which was nice to see. But maybe
here's a question. Here is a question. Luke Thompson, if he was a Bielsa player and they were going to replace Bielsa in the summer anyway, why buy him in the first place?
Well, you give Bielsa whatever he wants, and if Bielsa wanted that player, then you buy that fucking player. Like, you know.
It's a good point, though.
Like, oh no, absolutely, yeah. But again, that's down to the board, like the board and Bielsa, I guess. Bielsa wanted him to change it around in January, and you know that would be the way it went, and no. So it is what it is. I think he's as long as we're going to take a serious hit on him. I think if we do sell him, like we're not going to recoup what we paid. I don't think.
No, but absolutely not. No, I don't think so.
No. I think in relation to the whole VAR thing, we might leave that for the main pod on Tuesday because that could be a lengthy one, that, like, so. So Luke has also popped in with this one as well. Can someone find flights to Spain and put Llorente on it? That's sound. I'll drive him to the airport, man. It's absolutely no bother. Sound. Deliver on the corner. So Lee has popped in here as well with so much for a new striker. We're still waiting on the Rad's comment saying in something similar to Fawshaw about Bamford or someone like that. So I'm sure he'll enjoy a bottle of vino now tonight and come back on, you know.
I hope not. Somebody needs to. Yeah. Somebody just needs to delete his account, don't they?
Yeah, just take it off him. Cooper is club captain, so it's got to be better with him in the team. Look, I think with Cooper, I think he very much at the moment he puts a calm and influence on the team. The team just seem to play a lot better when he is in the team. Like we were saying earlier, Gillies, like he's gone from League One Liam to Jesus Christ, we need Cooper in the space of a couple of years, like so. I think
there were 3.5 months. I seem to recall early November. I think he got injured. The two games before his injury, we kept a clean sheet. We didn't keep a clean sheet until he came back into the side 3.5 months later.
Mm-hmm. It says it all, really, doesn't it? Yeah. Any other business, Gilly?
I hate them. I hate the fact Somebody said earlier, Pontus has gone down having had the ball blasted in his face. What a pussy! But I'm surprised about is the fact that he's doing it when he's winning, when they're winning. Because we've seen him bottle it in the past. That for me is Llorente's biggest issue. For me, is his bottle. And I don't know if that's where his head goes, because he just doesn't have the bottle for the occasion. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Just touching on Brentford. They're a tin pot side that have absolutely done a number on us, and you can't take it away from them today. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think there were VAR issues. I think there were refereeing issues. Yeah, I think that there were things that we inflicted on ourselves really clearly. But they took advantage. You've got to be there to take advantage of it. They scored 5 goals against us. Fair play.
This is the thing, yeah. Can't, like, they played their game plan really well, and it came off. But again, you know, we kind of aided and abetted their fucking 5 goals today. Like, so.
Yeah, we absolutely did. But you've got to give it to Tony. You know, that one where Meslier comes sprinting out to save Cock, but he's his clearance goes to, I think it was in Bueno, and then he just plays Tony inside. Meslier is never catching him up. He's just not going to. And the composure to clip it over 2 players.
Yeah.
You've also got to take that chance. Now, it helps that they were in front, but here's a question. How much different would that game have gone had Rad's got his wallet out and bought Ivan Tony? That's the sort of player we needed to bring in. Somebody that was able to be a Premier League striker.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that can score goals. Somebody that can push Bamford. Somebody that can replace Bamford if Bamford's off form. Somebody that is driving him. Yes, he would have cost money.
Yeah, but we didn't spend any money in the summer, did we?
Yeah, no.
So
actually subscribe to the Adams theory of we've not even paid for him yet, then we're 22 million in the green.
There you go. So no excuses, really. Like, he's coming around. Like, yeah, just take anyone who's next to or around Rads tonight. Just take your phone off. Take his phone off him.
And jab him in head.
Just throw it out of the nearest window and just leave it. Leave us be for tonight. Like, you know. Look, like you were saying, Giddy, there. Fair play at Brentford. They did what they needed to do. We looked shoddy. We abated and abetted all that shit as well. So. Be interesting to see
one
the
thing, though,
comments.
One thing. I'm really, really, really glad that Canos didn't play in that win.
Yeah.
What a twat. Equally, Thomas Frank can still get fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. Thomas Frank. I hate the way he chews gum, man. You're like, fucking hell. It's like, I don't know what. It's just stop. If no other business there, Gilly, do you want to maybe say goodbye to the nice folks that have been sticking around for our waffle on about the post-match Brentford?
Yeah, job done. So thanks to everybody getting involved in the comments, all of that shit. Just in terms of, I think there might be a competition running at
there
the moment.
Is.
Or
is
it, yeah. There Can you is, remember yeah. what it is?
It's by our sponsor, CBD.
Home shirt, isn't it? That's right.
Home shirt and some CBD lip balms, I think, is what's on offer at the moment. So just head over to the Twitter page. It's on there. It's a pinned tweet. Just retweet, follow the rules, and best of luck.
Yeah, best of luck, everyone. And follow and do all of that sort of stuff. A few of us will be back on Tuesday.
Yeah, no doubt. Have a nice evening if you can.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address at Otto Know Better with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.